There is just one phrase that I want to draw to your attention for a little while this afternoon. It's found in John's Gospel, chapter 16. It's a question that the Lord Jesus asked of his disciples. And in the course of the conversation, and we'll think about the context of that conversation just in a moment, but in the course of a conversation that he had with his disciples, he said to them in John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 5, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" And it's those last few words, "whither goest thou?" what I want to draw to your attention for a little while. Three words, and yet what an important question it is. A question that has to do with life beyond this world. So we can easily entitle the message this afternoon, "Where will you spend eternity?" Because that's really what this question has to do with. It's the Lord Jesus saying to his disciples, "None of you are asking me, whither goest thou?" And when you read about the context of that question, you will find that the Lord Jesus was speaking about taking his leave of the disciples and leaving this world. He had come into this world. He had been sent by the Father. As he acknowledges, there was a work that was given to him to do. No one else could save our souls. No one else could make that sacrifice for sin but Jesus Christ alone. None other was good enough. We needed a sinless Savior. And Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, was the only one who was sinless, and therefore the only one who could make that sacrifice for sin. So he had come into this world. He had come at his Father's bidding to do his Father's will. But now he's telling his disciples that the hour is coming when I'm going to take my leave of you. I'm going to leave not only you, but I'm going to leave this world. I have come for a time. I have fulfilled the work in a short time that my Father has given me to do, and then I'm going to take my leave of you. And that's when the Lord Jesus then says, "Well, why is it that none of you are asking this question? Well, where are you going?" For example, in John chapter 14 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus said this to his disciples. It's that conversation in the upper room as they're gathered there. John 14 verse 28, "Ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you." So the Lord Jesus was using language like that. "I go away." You think about the beginning of John 14 as well. Those well-known verses. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So the Lord Jesus was using terminology like that. "I go away," or "I go to prepare a place for you." And then he says to his disciples, "Well, why is it that none of you are asking me, well, where are you going? Whither goest thou?" And is that not very typical of many today? They never think about eternity. They never would think enough to ask themselves this question. Well, where am I going? Where will I be in eternity? When life is done with it in this world, and whatever days that we have, either many or few, how many around us, and sadly even among our own friends and family and neighbours and acquaintances, they never ask themselves the question, well, where am I going? They're just so taken up with this world and the things of this life that they never think about the world that lies beyond. They never ask themselves the question, well, where am I going? Where will I spend eternity? And yet evidently it was a question the Lord Jesus expected to be asked. When he said this to his disciples, but none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Well, surely the Lord Jesus uttering those words, we can infer from them that he expected them to ask that question. He's wondering why they are not asking this question. Why are they not saying, well, where are you going? You've said that you're going away. You've said that you're going to prepare a place for us. Well, where is that place and where are you going? And sadly, many a heart never asks themselves that question today when they ought. They ought to ask themselves that question. And if you're under the sound of this broadcast, this open air, this drive-in this afternoon, and you've never asked yourself that question, well, where am I going and where will I spend eternity? Surely now is the time to ask yourself that. Surely now is the time to address that and to consider, well, where will I be in eternity? Where am I going in eternity? And I trust that the grace of God and the power of God might work in some heart and life and cause you to consider this and cause you to ask yourself this question. And then not only to ask it, but to ask it sincerely and to address it sincerely and to not rest until you know for sure. You see, that's the great hope of the gospel today, is that we can know where we are going. There may be things about tomorrow that we do not know and are uncertain and unsure. But the Christian has got a certainty about where they are going. And that certainty comes not because of what they have done, but because of what Christ has done. If it was dependent upon something that you and I had done, then that would be presumptuous. And somebody could charge us with being presumptuous. If it was depending, even in the slightest degree, just in some small part, if there was a part of self in salvation, then somebody could say, well, that's presumptuous. You're presuming that you have done enough. But when you're trusting in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone, then you can have a certainty about where you'll be in eternity, and it is not presumptuous to say so. It is not presumptuous to speak of the hope that is within our soul. Not at all. Rather, it is God glorifying, because all praise belongs to the Lord. It is of the Lord's doing that we are saved. It is of the Lord's doing that we have any hope. And therefore, it is not presumptuous at all to be able to say, it is well with my soul. So it is a question that we need to address and that we ought to address, that we can address. There's just a few points I want to mention to you. When you think about these words, this thought about, well, where will I spend eternity? Whither goest thou, the Lord Jesus said. It's evident that we're going somewhere. Surely that's the most obvious conclusion to come to when you think about those few words. Just like the Savior, he was going somewhere. He was going somewhere. He was going back to heaven. He was going back to his Father. He had come from God, he says. He was going back to his Father. So the Lord Jesus was going somewhere. And surely it emphasizes the same point with regards to you and I. We're going somewhere, men and women. We're not just aimlessly traveling through time, as many would suggest to us, that we're here just by chance, that we're even here by genetic mistake, and that there's no purpose to life, there's no reason why we're here. It's all because of chance, not according to the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that we're here by the express purpose of God, and we're going somewhere. Yes, we're traveling through time, but there comes a time, the Bible says, when there will be time no more. You read about that in the book of the Revelation. There was time no more. And there's coming a day when time will end as we know it. This world will end. Our existence in this world will end. And we may even go the way of all the earth long before that ever happens. You come upon that question in the book of Job. It's Job chapter 14 and verse 10. It says, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? There's that question there. Where is he? Well, evidently it's not referring to the body, because it's been explained in the opening part of the statement where the body is. Man dieth and wasteth away. There's a reference to the body. As we know, the body will corrupt. It will return to the dust from whence it came. So there's the answer as to, well, where is your body when you die? It will corrupt and waste away. Man dieth and wasteth away. But the question goes on to ask, where is he? It's referring to our soul. Where is an individual when they have died? As to their soul, their body may be laid in the grave, or in this age it may be cremated. But the question is asked, where is their soul? Where is that individual? Where is he? Is the question that is asked there in Job. We're going somewhere, traveling through this world, facing death. And there's many, sadly, who have had to face death over these past weeks and months and have gone out into God's eternity. But we are reminded in Scripture that we are going somewhere. That death is just not the end of it. It's not annihilation. That's not what is going to happen. We're going somewhere. And when the Lord Jesus says, well, why are you not asking me where I am going? It is to all of us a reminder that we are indeed going somewhere. And surely then that means that we need to make preparation. If we're going somewhere, we need to make preparation. Even the shortest journeys here need some sort of preparation. Maybe longer journeys certainly need more detailed preparation and time to plan it and so on. But the shortest of journeys needs preparation in some way. Even if it's only to step outside a day like today, you might put on a coat or whatever. You'll certainly put on a pair of shoes fit for outside. So that the shortest of journeys requires some degree of preparation. Well, what about the journey out into eternity? Surely that needs preparation. And that's why the Word of God tells us that we are to prepare to meet our God. We are to give thought and heed and make the preparation that is required so that when we take our leave of this world and the soul wings its way out into God's eternity, that we are prepared to meet Him who is our judge, who is our maker. So there is a conclusion here that we can draw, that we're only passing through this world and that we are going somewhere. The second thing I want you to consider is that in going somewhere, we can only go one of two places. There's only one of two places to which we can go. There's no third place. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no dying and that's the end of us. You die like a dog and you're buried and that's the end of you. No, my friend, there's just two places that you go to, either to heaven or to hell, one or the other. There's only two places beyond this life. And when we exit through that door, and that's the idea of the word decease, when you find it in the Bible, certainly, and it's used today to respectively maybe speak of the dead, we might speak of somebody who is deceased. And we're politely referring to the fact that they have indeed died and passed away. Well, the word deceased in the Bible actually means exit. You have it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Elijah and Moses came down, and it says that they spoke to the Lord of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. And that word decease means his exit. His exit. You see, there is a door that we go out into God's eternity. And that door will open up for us either out into heaven or out into hell. There's only one of two places to which we can go. Nowhere in between. And when we do so, there will be no changing from one to the other. And what a joy it is to be able this afternoon to say that our anchor will hold, as we were singing in that opening hymn, that our anchor will hold when that time when death comes and the door approaches and we exit this world and out into eternity, we'll be able to say as a child of God, if you know Christ as Savior, you can say today, my anchor will hold and the door will open for me into heaven, into the presence of the Lord, into all the wonder and the splendor of that place. The Bible tells us that heaven is a prepared place. We've already quoted that verse in John 14 where the Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And if we've never prepared, we'll never be in that prepared place. It's a very particular place. It's a special place. The Bible tells us of that. It gives us insights into it. It tells us some of the things that are there. It tells us some of the things that are not there. The things that are not there are the things that bring sorrow to this world. Sickness and death are not there. And there's plenty of sickness and death in the world, and we're conscious of that more than ever over these last number of weeks and months. But there's no sickness and there's no death in heaven. The Christian is going to a place where they can say it's a special place. It's a very special place. because there's none of these things that bring sorrow and sadness to this world. And oh, the bliss of that place. What a privilege it is to be there. It's not something we're going to attain by our own efforts. It's something that is ours by the gift of God. And I trust that you'll be able to say, yes, it's heaven for me. My anchor will hold, and I'll enter into heaven, and I'll enter into all the privileges and the blessings that are there for a sinner saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, cleansed from sin, who's got the experience of the new birth in their heart. Yes, it's going to be heaven for me. Otherwise, it will be hell. For that's the other place. That's the other place. It's either heaven or hell we're going to. And if it's not the bliss of heaven, it's going to be the torments of a lost sinner's hell. And oh, may you be warned this day, if you're not saved and you don't know Christ, be warned this day to flee from wrath to come. And may it just not be a warning that you've heard, but I trust it would be a warning that you would take heed to, and that you would realize, I do not want to go to a place like this. Where are you going? Are you able to speak with confidence today about it? Are you unsure and uncertain? Or maybe somebody under the sound of this message today, and you're a denier. You don't even believe that there's a heaven or a hell. You deny the very thought of the existence of God or the reality of heaven and hell. Well, my friend, the Bible tells me the God of this world has blinded your mind. That's the reality of it. That's why you think the way you do. If you're one of those today who maybe even boast that you don't believe any of that nonsense that those Christians believe and adhere to, well, understand this. The reason why you believe that and the reason why you think like that is because the God of this world has blinded your mind. We're told that. It's not as if it's something that has only happened in your lifetime. There's always been people who with that attitude. And it tells you in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 about the God of this world who has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. And why is it that you don't believe? Why is it that you have no thought of eternity? Because the devil, whose abode is hell, and he works in this world. His abode is hell, but the realm of his activity is this world. And he works in this world and he deceives. And he deceives many to think there's no heaven and there's no hell and there's no need to give any heed to this. Where are you going? Whither goest thou? I finish off with this last thought. And it is this simple point. It is what we do with Jesus Christ will determine whether you're in heaven or hell. Where are you going? Well, you can ask yourself that question. You can answer it as well by thinking about this. What have I done with Jesus Christ? That'll determine whether you are in heaven or hell, or whether I am in heaven or hell. Nothing else. Nothing else. Just one simple point. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him? I said at the very beginning that he was sent by the Father in order to make atonement for sin. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then you're on your way to heaven. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, then you're not on your way to heaven. You're on your way down to a lost eternity. You're on your way to hell. It's what we do with Jesus Christ. Because as I say, God sent him into the world. He came as the Savior. He came to lay down his life, to sacrifice himself in order that our sins might be forgiven. And that is what is needed, you see, in order to enter into heaven. When we speak about heaven being a prepared place for a prepared people, the reason why it is a prepared place is that it says there's no sin that can enter into heaven. And therefore your sin and my sin has to be dealt with. And that can only be dealt with by the cleansing, atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And if you have come to Christ, therefore, for cleansing, then your sins are forgiven. Then heaven is not barred to you, but the door is open. And you can enter in washed in the precious blood. And I trust, my friend, that that will indeed be the case, even today. And if you are a child of God and saved, then rejoice in it. Give thanks today. Give thanks today for God ever sending his dear Son into this world. Where would we be today if his Son had never come? We would be a most hopeless people if there was never at all any thought whatsoever, any possibility whatsoever of ever having our sins forgiven. What a miserable place this world would be. What a hope the gospel gives. And may that hope be ours even this afternoon. Whither goest thou? Where will you spend eternity? I trust you'll be able to say, I'll spend it in heaven with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Whither goest thou? May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts.